Today on Real Radio.
And in my opinion, he's 10 times worse than any Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein that's ever lived. And you're going to be shocked when I tell you. He professed to be a believer. He was baptized. His family throughout history had gone to church and were Christians. This particular man, personally, I don't believe he ever believed in Christ. He was religious, but his daughter got sick. His daughter died. And the day that his daughter died, he said, "I will never go into a church again." You know what I'm talking about?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Our focus is on two verses of chapter 20. It's a short passage that has great significance, both scripturally and historically. This is where the Messiah refers to himself as the chief cornerstone, which the builders rejected. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called The Ever-Present Argument of God.
In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the sound," Adam and Eve did, "they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Think about that, church. Can you describe what that means? That Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the Garden of Eden. I can't even begin to pretend I know what that means. That Adam and Eve interfaced with God. This is pre-fall, pre-sin. They did that every day. That was the daily routine, to walk with God in the cool of the day. But unfortunately, Genesis 3:8 goes on, because this is a little different account. It says, "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God among the trees of the garden." Why? They had sinned. It was a daily routine for them to walk with the Lord, but now they had sinned against God, and now they're hiding. And then the Lord called out to Adam and said, "Adam, where are you?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Listen to the heart of God. And the Lord said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat of?" Now, my friends, any of you have kids, you know exactly how this works. Did God know the second they bit that fruit thing? We don't know what it was. We don't know if it was an apple. Could have been an IBM. We don't know. "Where are you, Adam?" You know what God was expecting, wanting, desiring? That Adam would step out of the bushes. In fact, that's another amazing word in the Hebrew. We see them with the little fig leaf there. Right? We've all seen the stories. That's ridiculous. That's not what the Bible says. They were completely covered in shrubs, leaves. All you saw was this. I mean, it's like they had a burqa on. Can you imagine? Like, you see the Taliban girls walking around Afghanistan? Convert that robe, that burqa, into leaves. Adam's, "Yeah, we're right here, God. What's up?" "Adam, you look like an idiot. What are you wearing?" "Oh, covered up because I'm naked." And God says, "Who told you you were naked?" He was trying to get out of them a confession. "Have you eaten?" He escalates it. "Where are you?" He wanted Adam and Eve to jump out of the bushes and say, "I'm right here. Sorry, we blew it." Adam confesses, "We're naked." God says, "Who told you you were naked? Second opportunity to confess." And you know when you bust your kids, what did you do? Did you do that? That question is to provoke in your child repentance, is it not? That your kid would say, "I'm sorry, Daddy." Listen, if your kid says, "I'm sorry, Daddy," 99% of the discipline's already over. Now you just send them to their room. It's done. Unless your kid comes out of his room or fort or whatever, covered in bushes, and says, "What?" Well, you need to apply a little bit more pressure to provoke a confession. Who told you you were naked? And then thirdly, did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? God knew all that. He was trying to get them to say, "We're sorry, God." But they didn't do that. In fact, Adam, the knucklehead, he goes from this incredible, perfect state. Listen, guys, and listen, girls. Adam goes from this state of perfection, sins, and his first act is to hide from God. You know any men hiding from God? Secondly, he blames his wife. Know any men who blames his wife? God says, "Did you eat of that tree?" And Adam says, "God, the woman, look how devilish his mind went. The woman lied to me. The woman who you gave me." You hear that? And then God says, "Eve, what's up?" And Eve says, That snake tricked me. And the snake, God speaks to Satan, who's in the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. But anyway. The blame. Man has fallen. The Bible says man has fallen from the presence of God. That's why you and I struggle with the things that we struggle with. That's why without Jesus ruling and reigning in our lives and a personal relationship with him, that's why we go from one disaster to the next and we try to cover up our tracks because we're living life on our own. Why? We're fallen. And I need to say this now before this becomes an illegal thing to say. That all of us, the Bible says, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not bad news. That's honesty. And when you face that and you say, "Lord, I've sinned. I've not kept the Ten Commandments. I cheated on a test. Or I lied about biting the dog. Or I that's called sin. And God wants us to come and confess it to him so that we might live a healthy life and be free. See, only God makes sense in our lives. And Jesus is warning, whoever falls on that stone will be broken. To come to Christ and to fall on that stone and say, "Oh God, forgive me." To be in that garden once again and say, "Oh God, I don't want to cover this up. I want to come to you." The Bible says that whoever covers their sin up will not prosper in this life. You'll have a glaze about you. And I love this. Will you mark this in your Bibles, everybody? Notice this. Whoever, can you circle that word, whoever? Is not God's heart amazing? Whoever. He didn't say Baptist only who fall on the, only those who go to Calvary Chapel. Oh no. What did God say? Whoever. Whoever falls upon that stone. Is that not open? Guys, are you with me? Everybody. Is that not open to everyone? God does not segregate. I know that there are so-called white churches and black churches and Asian churches and Hispanic churches. I think that grieves the heart of God personally. It's my opinion. Is the body of Christ divided? No. Is not the body of Jesus Christ, the church, a montage of people? Absolutely. When God says, "Whoever falls on that stone will be broken," that's available to every one of us today if we make that decision. I'm going to fall upon Christ today. No one's excluded. If you exclude yourself, it's only you who can exclude yourself. We're not excluding you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22 says, listen to this, "For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends." Listen to this. "He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. As a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." That's the definition of redemption and atonement. But read the fine print. There are those who want to reject him and not have anything to do with Jesus in their lives. Think of it. What is wrong with us? That we would reject him and shove him away from us. Isn't that what our first mom and dad did, though, Adam and Eve? We're hiding, we're in the bushes, we're trying to cover this up. We need to come to the rock and fall on the rock. Whatever sins we are guilty of this morning, I'm not going to say if we are. Have we gone to the cross? Have we gone to him and said, Lord, forgive me? And I tell you, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, and I trust, I hope all of you do, there's such an immediate release when you go to him. Listen, with all due respect, there is no pill on the planet that can achieve that. You can take your pill, you can drink your drink, you can snort your crack or whatever you snort, or you can put that needle in your vein. It will only last for so long. And then you're right back to the same place you started at. Oh, my dear friend, today you can lay down your ambition and your pursuits and your cover-up. You can lay it down, man. And if you go to him, and you can do that. You can do that right now. You can do it later today. You can do it in the closet of your bedroom, or you can do it in the bathroom of your house or on the freeway, anywhere. And you say to him, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to cover this up anymore. And he'll take that away. With all due respect, you can't go to a therapist or a psychologist or a life coach that can make a difference in this area. It's impossible. Why? Because you are a son and daughter of Adam and Eve, and only going to the rock and falling on him will ever make that right again. It's absolutely vital. Number two, why do we need to fall on Jesus? The stone. It's because Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of the pain and sorrow of this life. I want to tell you straight up, and I want to tell you honestly, and I don't want you to ever forget this. If we ever tell our children or our friends or our family members when they're hurting, or your husband or your wife when they're hurting, you know what? Just trust Jesus. What are you saying to them? When we graduate our kids out of church and send them into the world, we better be careful that we don't just tell them, you know what? Just read your Bible when tough times come. You say, Jack, what are you saying? I'm saying that that is not fully the answer. The Bible is the answer, and you are to trust Jesus. But if you are to tell them, oh, you know what? If you walk with God, there'll be no bumps and bruises in life. You guys, we're feeding our kids a bunch of baloney. We have rough times in this life. Do not Christians get cancer? Don't Christians get fired from their jobs? Don't Christians get diseases? Don't Christians crash in car accidents? Yes. Then how can a good God allow this to happen to me, one of his own kids? Because we live in a fallen, painful, evil world. And if we don't teach our kids the truth about what the Bible teaches, that in the midst of all of this stuff that we go through, God is greater. If we show them, listen, son, daughter, when you get to college, when you get to junior high, high school, you better expect kids are going to attack you for being a Christian. Don't tell them it's not going to happen. Tell them it's going to happen. You take a stand for Christ, you're going to get attacked. And if they don't attack you, guess what? There could be a little bright spot on that x-ray. And what are you going to do? Listen to me. You say, Jack, we move on to the next point. Not yet. You want to know why? Most people polled who have given up on God have given up on God because they didn't think God answered them the way that he should have answered them. I'll give you one name. And this man changed the course of the world. And in my opinion, he's 10 times worse than any Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein that's ever lived. And you're going to be shocked when I tell you. He professed to be a believer. He was baptized. His family throughout history had gone to church and were Christians. This particular man, personally, I don't believe he ever believed in Christ. He was religious, but his daughter got sick. His daughter died. And the day that his daughter died, he said, I will never talk to you again. He said, I will never go into a church again. You know who I'm talking about? Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin died fighting against the God that he tried to prove didn't exist because God didn't answer Darwin's prayer request the way Darwin wanted it to be answered. Ladies and gentlemen, Darwin failed to understand that we live in a world that is full of pain and sorrow and suffering, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And when they give you that x-ray or when they give you that pink slip, God is greater. What are you going to do about that? You say, Pastor, that hasn't happened to me. Cheer up, it will. No one's going to escape from this life unscathed. You're fooling yourself. And by the way, it's that innocent and uninformed believer who statistically falls away from Christ when the difficult times come. Oh no, give me a believer. I want to hang out with a believer who's gone through a lot of stuff. Right now, Megan is fighting for her life going through this. And by the way, the baby was delivered healthy and fine and beautiful. But Megan's fighting for her life. She's fighting for her life. And Mitch texted me when I was away and he said, you know what? She's got amazing peace. My daughter has tremendous confidence in Christ. Listen, when a hardship comes into your life, you'll either get closer to God or you'll run away from him. You'll cover yourself either in leaves or you'll fall on the rock and be broken. And that's a good thing, to be broken. Isaiah 53:3 says, he, Jesus, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Is that the Jesus you know? It better be the Jesus you know. Isaiah 53:3, he was acquainted with grief, and he was a man of sorrows, Jesus was. Romans 8:26 and verse 34, this is awesome. Romans 8:26 and Romans 8:34. And the Holy Spirit himself helps in our distresses. You ever felt like that? For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we ought to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in human words. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns us? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also is risen from the dead, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Did you know that? The Bible says that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit speak to the Father on your behalf. Why should you become a Christian today? Because don't you think it'd be good for your life if the Holy Spirit and Jesus was talking to the Father about what's good for your life? Man, I think we ought to just form a line and sign up for Jesus right now, don't you think? I talked to a pastor this week who was in Oakland, California, just down the street from his church. Spoke to him face to face. And there was a woman going into an abortion clinic. And he said, excuse me, we want to help you. You don't have to do that. We want to help you. And the city of Oakland has some 8-foot rule. There's an 8-foot rule, and somebody was watching, and he violated the 8-foot rule. He was arrested. He was put in jail with a 30-day sentence. I'm telling you straight from his mouth, God's my witness. Lisa and I spoke with him and his wife on Thursday evening. I said, yeah, but the news said you only served 20 days in jail. He said, that's right. He didn't say that's right. He said, that's right. And I said, so what's the deal? He said, by the grace of God, I led 8 inmates to Christ. 8 guys got saved in 20 days. He said, the next thing I knew, they said, get out of here. He was arrested for trying to defend the unborn and help an innocent young girl who was scared and didn't know what to do. Wow. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you were called. Listen, this is not a verse you memorize on your car. This is not one you like. I want to memorize that verse. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called. Yes. Because Christ also suffered for us. Right on. Leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. What? That's what the Bible says. Point number 3. Why do you and I need to fall upon this rock and be broken? The stone. Number 3. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of the injustice of this world. You guys, it's crazy. The injustice on all kinds of fronts. We could be here all day talking about injustices. Could we not? In John 15, 17, Jesus says, these things I command you. Listen, that you love one another. Next verse says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Are you hated in this world? Again, speaking to a pastor, he came up to me in Washington and he said, listen, I need to ask you about something. I'm scared. I'm taking a stand. And he said, you know, I want to talk to you about it because your church has really got me all excited. And we're very connected on the internet with your church. And he said, whatever you guys do, we do. I think he's in New Mexico, maybe. I think it was. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. And he said, you know, you guys would do something. You'd have voter registration, or you would stand up for the poor, or you would do this for that. I started getting attacked, and people started targeting me, and people started throwing eggs in my car. And he said, I'm scared. And that verse got into our notes this morning because that's the verse I pulled out. And I said, listen, they hated Jesus before they ever hated you. This is what we signed up for. Listen, if the world hates you and I, Jesus said, cheer up. They hated me first. See, you and I have this thing about, because we haven't fallen on the rock and been broken, there's still too much of us alive, that we really, 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 really care about what everybody thinks about us. Do you know how silly that is? See, when we're broken, we don't care what people think about us. Because let's be honest. Let's just be brutally honest. Look, I'll just take there's maybe seven people sitting right here, maybe eight in this front section, just right there. Their opinions will change of me and of one another as they get to know one another and get to know me and I get to know them. How often will the opinions change of one another and what we think about them? Is it not fluid? Is it not constant? What do you think? I don't know what I think. Well, I used to like them. Now I don't like them. I used to not like them, but now I like them. Constantly changing. The world will never, never, even in the house of God, it's constantly changing. But he never changes. He's always the same. And here's what's cool. Tie your existence to him. Throw your rope around his buoy, his anchor, and be steadfast unto him. Why? His opinion of you will never change. You know exactly what he thinks about you in this book. It's amazing. He says, by the way, my thoughts toward you, they're more than the sands of the sea. And they're beautiful. They're wonderful. You cannot count them, Jack, he says in the Psalms.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Ever-Present Argument of God. It's actually a series within our overall exploration of Luke's New Testament account and taken from portions of chapters 19 and 20. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Remember our special offer this month, Pastor Jack's DVD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. An examination of Paul's dealings with the Corinthian believers and the issues which the series title clearly describes. And quite honestly, doesn't that sound like something that must be addressed today? Well, Pastor Jack does deal with it today, and it's available on DVD. To obtain Pastor Jack's series Saints, Sex, and Sinners, just ask for it by name when you get in touch. All we request is a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio. We'll be glad to send you the DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.